Nathaniel X with Commander Q.
36 with Commander Q.
The cold and Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
36 Swiss Commander Q.
36 Jesuífe Commander Q.
36 Commander Q. 36
Um spirit and all right,
previous stretch of entries from the last volume on, this is volume 31 of my voice journal, by the way, was the band Strange Folk at the Avalon nightclub on Lansdowne Street in Boston. Good show. I recorded basically the first set. So, enjoyed it. Second set was even better. And the encore was there. It was a cover of Eric Clapton's song Rain. So it was a good show. I've been thinking about the Jellicle Guild in light of hearing last night that Jim's mom is sick, and so the meeting that was going to be at Mark's house and then going to be at Jim's house is now going to be at Mark's house. And you know what? I've had it. I've fucking had it. I don't know if I can keep doing it. I want to keep doing it. The idea is sound, but I just don't know, and I can't do it in Connecticut anymore. Rummers is gone. The building's still there, but the new owner is not interested in the Jellicle Guild or anything like it. He's interested in having something loud and for him, money making. Though I don't think he's making a lot of money, frankly. It just doesn't work. We had 10 good years there. 10 good years at that place. Survived a lot of bullshit, survived a lot of defections, a lot of weirdness. It was good, it was fun, but it's over. I can't keep planning meetings for Mark's house. It just doesn't work. It does not work. Mark's house is a fucking disaster area. And that's the way he wants it. I mean, maybe he doesn't want it that way, but I don't believe at this point in time he can do anything about it. And I don't know if any time in the future he's going to do anything about it. So what that adds up to is that every time I want to have a meeting there, I have to pick up his fucking garbage. And his fucking smell of a place that has been unclean for years. Not even that many, but enough. Neglect. Basic neglect. He's a good guy. He's a good fellow. But it just doesn't work. I don't want to have meetings in Connecticut anymore because there's no place to have meetings now. Saying that, I'm afraid. Leads me immediately to think about how the Jellicle Guild has been my last active tie to Connecticut. I left there in 92, it's 8 years later. To not have the Jellicle Guild there is to cut my last tie. After that, it's all sentiment and special occasion. It's not an active commitment that I've had. But I think of it this way. I was at a club tonight, seeing a band, having a wonderful time. Didn't drink a drop. Now, I had the money, and sometimes I don't. And if I'd bought several beers, it wouldn't have really harmed my purse in the least, frankly. But it wasn't even a hard decision. It wasn't even a thought. I don't have that thirst anymore. Is art, love, family, home. Booze just doesn't reckon into my plans. I'm now at Bell Rock Cemetery. I'm really tired. I don't know what kind of emails I'm going to get. I sent a bunch to Jim and Jerry and Mark. They've in a way been my three closest friends. From a larger number back when, they're the three that remain, and yet I can't go back with them. I have to bring them with me. That's what it comes down to. As much as I can, as much as I can possibly do it, I have to bring them with me. Because this just doesn't fucking work. I don't want to go to Connecticut anymore on a regular basis. I want to cut my ties, except for sentiment and special occasion. But I just can't do it anymore there. And maybe it's for the best. Maybe I've been holding out on where I live now, the region I live in now, holding back. But a few years ago, I began segueing toward not having 8 meetings. I think it was 97. It was 97. From 93 to 96, all the meetings are in Connecticut. That's 93 and 94, 4 years. For the past 3.5, twice yearly of the eight, 2 of them have been in Boston. I think the number the ratio needs to shift again in the favor of Boston. Jerry has a good job. He can get weekends off. Mark can get weekends off. Jim can get weekends off. And I'd like to bring them up here more anyway. There's nothing down for me there anymore. Roma's is the last of it. When the ownership changed, I mean, that was an event in real time. I had nothing to say about it or whatever, but it was a signal that the times have changed. And I guess they've been changing all along, but now I have to heed it. It's rough. So I'm thinking, have the meeting at Jim's house, have the meeting at Jerry's house, have the meeting at Mark's house. It doesn't fucking matter where it's held. But somehow get it before the night's over. Over to Roma's. Have a final something. Say goodbye, essentially. Oh, I can't believe in Bell Rock. I love you, spirits. Always. It has to be my decision. I'm the leader of the pack, whether I want to be or not. And, you know, it's funny, I was on the train tonight, and I heard these young college fellows talking, and one of them was saying how he's a English and history major, and he's working for the ACLU this summer, and my heart, my mind ached to talk to him. Just ached to talk to him and hear about his plans, his hopes. My direction lies with younger people. That's where my head is much more. I mean, I spent today at a movie about raves because I wanted to know more about them. I now have a much better sense of them, and I spent tonight at a jam band concert, and this is where I'm headed. This is what it's about. It's about letting go of Connecticut, letting go of all that. Allowing for sentiment and special occasion, as I said, but cutting the active ties because they're dead. They're dead, and I don't want to admit it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want it to be true. But it is. It is, and that's all I can say. There's nothing else to say. Sorry about it. But my future lies with Fish and Burning Man and I don't know. Publishing, art. Anyway. So that's it for this. At my house. I'm gonna just squat over the toilet. Begin to descend into the arms of Morpheus, as the fellow says, to quote Julia Gant. Lost, man. Dark fucking book. But there are moments when I really like it. Alright, that's it.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 XUI fica Commander Q.
Daniel X with Commander Q. Commander Q. Strange.
and spirit and all radio, all podcast, broadcast the world.
36X with Amanda
Radio, radio.com. Streaming any media and media and the web at radio.com.
Sunday, June 25th, 2000. It's 9:45. I'm leaving the Oakland Center Keith Station. Heading home. I haven't recorded an entry in this journal in several days. No, I'm fighting to just keep going. Fighting to believe that something good will come of it all. On Commercial Street. So it's Commercial to Charles to Canal. Across Medford through the Bell Rock Cemetery. I'm not sure what that last street is before I turn onto Newman Road. Maybe I'll check that if I remember. So there was something with Yahoo Yelp Night meeting last night, but I didn't add the passages in this journal. This machine didn't record some of the meeting. I bought fresh batteries just for that purpose, so it would record okay. It was a strange meeting. Shrek called it disjointed. I think that's a good way to put it. But in the end, it was me and Sherrod and Jerry and Jim. We had to go to Jim's place because he couldn't leave because his kids were having a party, birthday party, whatever. But all of us put out something. I, I don't know. No more meetings till late September, if at all. That's good. Because it's been the hardest 4 meetings in a while. Bad stretch. Bad stretch of fucking meetings. And I don't know where things will be in September. Mark suggested camping one meeting, and that's good, but I just think it's taking the problem and just making it complexer by adding more fucking details instead of fewer. Mark wants to go camping, so he suggests we have a Jellicle Guild camping meeting. And it's a good idea as a one-shot deal, but it doesn't really solve the problem. I think if the meetings are going well in general, I wouldn't mind doing it, but it's just... it doesn't show any real reflection on the larger situation. It's not his fault, I suppose, but still, it doesn't really help. Like, none of the suggestions really helped, and that's unfortunate. Situation changed. As well as, I mean, it essentially hasn't been available this year. And since the first couple of hours at the first of the 4 meetings this year haven't been back, I haven't been back. And I doubt that I will be back. I won't be back at least through the summer. My writing is so far fucking behind. I got it to this better place and then it began falling apart. I could blame the Thomas Wolfe manuscript. It's been taking up my time. Like, it's unbelievable how much. But there's only 2, or at the most 3 doing days of that. And that's good. I'm sick of that thing. Jude's article has proved completely problematic. All the good ideas I had for it fell apart. Barbara's cover's not going on the front. I don't like it enough to put it on the front. It's too garish. It's a good back cover, though. So when I get home, it'll be just after 10. It'll be hot. I'll be tired. I have to do my laundry. And then somehow to get down to Connecticut as early as possible. Shrett not helping me with that, telling me to leave earlier than I can instead of being supportive over me leaving when I can. He's such a fucking idiot at times. I think what it is, he gets caught up in his own ideas and he doesn't care that I'm asking for help. He's not interested in help. He's just interested in his own fucking thoughts. I think I need to be not with the Connecticut crowd for a while. I'm gonna see them. Well, we'll see them all. Three usual ones next week. Jip's situation with his family is absolutely ridiculous. I can't make plans with him anymore. Because I just never know whether he's going to be able to go or not. It's ridiculous. I'm not happy with it all. I'm not happy with it all. I'm not happy with Jerry's bottle-filled house, Charette's fucking slum, and his fucking idiocy, Jim's fucking weirdness at his own home. It's just too much. Dave Marcotti, Tillard at Land's End, once said that you gotta depend on yourself. You gotta figure out your own way. And I resisted that at first, but really, it's true. I don't like it being true. Sorry, brief fuck up there. I don't like it being true, but I guess in some ways it is. But there are situations where you can't plan out your own shit. I mean, now I don't know whether Jim's going to be able to go see The Who, and then, you know, that fucks me up because I don't know if I haven't planned out an alternative ride. And Neil Young's playing in August, but his situation's just too fucked. You know, I can't buy a ticket and then not be able to go because he can't go. See, the thing of it is his situation isn't mine. I've got my own fucking shit to deal with. I've got no backup. I don't come home to anything at night. But a fucking crappy fucking house. That's what I come home to at night. And dealing with that is fucking way more than enough. I mean, it's just way more than enough. I need commitment from people. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. It doesn't work. I guess I'll be with other people in July. I'll be on the road for 10 days and have nothing to do with Connecticut people, which is good. The thing I know about them is that they're dependable. I mean, in case of an emergency, there's no question about them coming through. They'll do everything they can to do so. There's no doubting that. But you know, reading all Lost, it's like, well, there's your big family, and they're just as all far apart from each other as one can imagine. It's just ridiculous. Passing by the 60s rock, LSD equals God, and the peace sign. from my Emerson days. Across the street, no steps, no building, except for a skeleton, a lot of lights. January 2001. Hang around. I sat there so often. I mean, I'm trying. I had a fucking meeting. I did my radio show today, and there was a thing that happened toward the end that wasn't planned. It was just, what it was put on two compact discs, Pat Metheny and a compilation of techno music, and I put on my voice journal from the 16th, I think it was, the night I was at Harvard Square recording the sounds there. And then I talked a little bit live. And I don't know, it was really interesting. It was complicated and strange. And then I began cutting toward the end, when the show was ending, I cut out the various components until all I had left was the Pat Metheny music, which was this sort of sad, wistful music. And it ended the show on such a lovely kind of note. It just, after all the chaos and calamity of 2 hours of stuff, to float to the ground on this melodic music, just it was sweet. I listened to it a couple of times. It was neat the way it ended. It was a good show. I think it was like an A-minus, B-plus show. Maybe just a B-plus show. But it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I fucked up a few times. And it wasn't perfect. But, yeah, I'd say A-minus/B-plus show. One of the better ones of the five I've done on the Alston station. And I was there. I mean, I'm still doing it. I'm going to show up next week, and I'm going to do it then. There's just no doubt about it. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to do it. He's a fucking ass down the street there. Fucking shorts. Fucking halter top. Thing to my mouth. Hold your shorts down. Nice ass. Dog, you cunt. It's a fucking main thoroughfare. God. I judge harshly, and yet I feel judged harshly. I feel it runs both ways. I'm sure the wind is going to fill this tape as much as my voice. I'm hot. I'm tired. I feel awful. And I don't have an answer. And all I'm doing is keeping going. That's all. Going home, call my door, lock it, drink water. I don't have any other answers. I don't have anything to say. I don't know. Said was find people who can understand. Find people who can understand. And I haven't done that yet. I used to be able to talk to Jim, but I can't talk to him much anymore. There's too much bullshit going on in his life that he has to deal with. The fact that he was able to come to the curb and play guitar, share a couple of beers, I mean, that was the best he could give. I don't know if it's the best he's capable of giving in the situation he's in, but I think he's capitulating a bit. But I think he feels somewhat helpless. And on that basis, I empathize with him. I feel helpless too. I'm trying, spirits. Am I trying as hard as I could? No. No, I'm not. Could I be trying harder? Yes, I could be. Might as well get that out of the way. I'm not trying as hard as I could. On all fronts. I'm reading that stupid wolf book at 60 pages a clip. Now that's trying. That's trying. But I don't try in other ways. And that's bad. So I don't have an answer. Get up tomorrow, which means with, I hope, the clothes I'm going to wash tonight cleaned. I have to shave my face, wash my hair, show up on time, jump into it. I've been thinking of just admitting to Yvonne that I'm tired, that my commute and my other activities, but that I'm trying. I don't like the mystery man thing. I don't care if it's fucking attractive. I think that's fucking bullshit. I don't see how you can be a man of mystery and a man of confidence at the same time. Fuck that. I've never accomplished anything easily, but much of what I have accomplished would not have been done if I'd gone the regular route anyway. So there's this third way, which is neither the worst, neither the conventional route, nor the stupid route. I'm not sure what the answer is. Kids in the cemetery. Good night, spirits. Good night, spirits. Sure. It's Green Street. That's it. All right. So it's commercial to Charles to Canal, across Medford into Bell Rock Cemetery. Come out on Green Street. More or less, and then I don't actually go onto Newman Road all that much. I more or less cross through the lots of the buildings. I've got to keep going. When I get in, all things being equal, what I've got to do is I've got to gather my clothes and get them into the washer. Try not to go to bed too late. And somehow keep trying, and somehow keep trying, somehow keep trying. Trying and keep trying and keep trying. That's all. Trying means doing more than the minimum I could if I weren't me. Get up, go to work, come home and sleep. I could get plenty of sleep. I could even afford food, clothes. I could get a haircut. I could really assimilate into Harvard Business School publishing. Maybe even jump at a job. Why don't I do that kind of thing? Why don't I ever go that route? Monday, June 26, 2000, just after 10 p.m., just left Malden Center T Station, walking along Commercial Street, across the street from Cappy's Liquors, preserving the last chunk of this tape a little bit, because I know there's not 20 minutes left, and that's how long my walk is. It costs money to find people. It costs money to heal. It costs money to do art. Create, teach, heal, love. All these things cost money in this world. All these things require money. I think in a way, a job that pays me more money is more important to me than a job that I like. What's on my mind? Well, there is floating before me a possible job from Insight. You see, right now I'm making over 30,000. I think I'm making about 31. And I'd have to give up at least 3,000 of that. For a job that would require me to travel and do public service, and I don't know what else. It's dubious is what it is. And so that's money. Course technology, publisher of technical books. You know, the thing of it is that they're not publishing anything I give a fuck about, much like Harvard Business School. I don't know, it's traveling, representing scary shit. There's a lot of it I don't know. I can't tell, I'm not sure. Makes me uptight because it could be the opportunity I wanted. It could suck. It could fucking suck. Moan a bit. Canal Street now. A bottle to kick. There's more. A bottle full of soda. How exciting. I just need to get it over to the right side of the... or just the left side of the road. There it goes. I think I'm going to throw it against that big electrical pole. I need my money for my art, for my acid, for my travels. I'm not going to work for anybody, at least at the moment. There's going to be publishing anything I give a fuck about. Definitely too many cars in the street. It's too fucking early for me to be coming home. But I've got to keep typing at the cynical. I want this thing to fucking explode. And I'll just keep kicking. Wow. It careened off the big metal pole. Bunched hugely into the street. That rocked. How about rocks? If I could hit it against a sharp object, that would be cool. I'm surrounded by my friends, the weeds.
X with Commander Pugh.
A lot of things don't interest me on that level anymore. It's like, I don't know if I care as much about a lot of stuff. You know, I just, like, you watch all these political shows and what do you want me to do? I mean, you want me to vote for something, I'll vote for it, but like, in the end, you know, how much worrying can I do about this stuff? You know, it's like, we've sheltered in place for almost 2 years, we've gotten our vaccines as requested, you know, we follow all the damn rules as we understand them, we don't make personal choices about fucking science, but, you know, I'm just tired of fucking worrying about all that stuff all the fucking time. It's like, just do your fucking jobs, take care of the fucking country, you've got, like, billions and trillions of dollars, just fucking do it, you know? And if some people need to be fucking stomped on to fucking get them to put a fucking shot in their arm so that other people don't get sick by their stupid asses, then do it. Fucking round them up. You want to be anti-vaxxers? Fine. Go live in the fucking cage. I don't care. I don't fucking care. Like, I'm tired of, like, this idea that science is a personal fucking choice. And health is a personal choice. Not when it comes to fucking making other people sick. Not when it comes to encroaching on the general well-being of society, because more people are still getting sick than should be. And we've all got to fucking hold our fucking breath month after fucking month while the numbers dwindle on down slowly. And, you know, we wait for fucking, like, whatever to happen. I mean, it's just... It really gets to me, this like personal choice thing. Fuck you! It's science! It's not about your religion. It's not about your, are you pro or anti-abortion? It's fucking science, man. When did science become a personal fucking choice? I mean, that's not even, like, I understand the people who don't want to get blood transfusions, the Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever. Fine. You know, and if you die, you die. Right? But, you know, that's not, just because you don't want to do it doesn't mean that you deny that it is a thing that could accomplish something. Right? It's not like your personal choice whether blood transfusions accomplish something, it's just your personal choice to have one. You're not denying the science. And it's like, no, personal choice does not have to do with science, man. That gets to me in a way I get, like, it's just exhausting, man. It takes the idea of personal liberty and insults it, really is what it does. Like, the idea of the libertarian or whatever is someone who did not belong to a political party, who thought their own thoughts, you know, what it, Jackie Robinson is an attempt to not be co-opted by the Democrats or whatever, you know, that's kind of like your independent thinker. But, like, that doesn't somehow mix you up with every crackpot, stupid, fucking conspiracy theory bullshit that there has to be. It doesn't have to be like that. You know, you can think for yourself, but then know that you're not a fucking scientist. You know, and you're not a doctor. And making decisions having to do with health, it's not something you're qualified to do. You're qualified to listen. You're qualified to understand your choices. You're qualified to understand the consequences of your choices if you go through all the rigmarole of listening and understanding the choices and understanding the consequences and then making your decision. But you're not qualified to do any of that shit in the middle. You're not qualified to say, well, here are the options. Here's what's going to happen. And if I do this, that, you know. No, you're not. I'm sorry, you're not Aaron fucking Rodgers. With his fucking, like, you know, cowpoke fucking medicine because he's too fucking cool to get a fucking shot in his fucking ass. And it's like, fuck you. I'm tired of all that shit, man. Like, society has been fucking degraded by stupid people who think that they're acting all, like, you know, full of their civil liberties. You know, civil liberties have to also do with civil responsibilities. I mean, like, it's not really every person for him or her or their self, as long as, you know, you're dependent on the electricity coming on and you didn't cause it to happen, and you're dependent on the fucking water to run clean, and you're...
I think many of the people who make this argument claim that they could be self-sufficient on all of those things.
Well, but I mean, there's a, you know, it's like, but those are political things, they're not health things. Maybe I'm drifting away from my point. My point is that it's one thing to make choices about owning a gun and about, you know, ways of living. But science is science. If a fucking thing is a pandemic, it doesn't give a fuck what your nationality is. Rich or poor, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like, people try to think that they're, like, separate and special and different, but it's like, I'm sorry, DNA is DNA, we all share it. We're all related. You know, we're all related, it's one species, that's it. You know, if something gets some of us sick, it gets all of us sick when it's something like this. You know, when it's something, you know, more selective, that's a different matter. But when it comes to this thing, nobody's ever said for one single moment that anybody, I mean, people might react to it differently if they got it, but nobody's immune from it, and nobody, like, is unaffected by it. You know, it's you know, it's not something that, like, there's some kind of discrimination among persons, you know, like either social or economic or racial or gender or whatever. None of that. Nothing. You put a person, any human entity, in a room with the fucking virus, you know, something's going to happen. That person cannot walk in, face the virus unprotected, and assume that nothing's going to happen. Something has to happen. You know, it's a thing that exists. It's a fact. Why do people deny it? I mean, I really think that's what it comes... It's like, it's not real. It's someone made it up. It started with Trump. It was they couldn't impeach me, so they made this up. But it's like, there's something in the, in the, like, you know... It's like, none of us want to think we're going to die, right? And that's the ultimate fear of humans that are mortal, is death. So, this thing seems to somehow have that same kind of something to
trigger.
It. Such that it's too it's too enormous to face, and so therefore you have to deny it. It's not real. And if you say it's not real, it doesn't have the power to terrify you and to control you and to make you act by its rules instead of your own. Right?
No, that seems to be how 50% of the country's acting.
But they're wrong. Like Nathan was saying, yeah, well, they'll say we're wrong. No, they're fucking wrong. I'm sorry. It's a fucking virus. It doesn't care if you like Trump. It doesn't care if you hate Trump. It doesn't care if you are Trump. You know, it's not, it doesn't care about these things. It's not, you know, it's like, it's hard to fathom because, like, if you're raised as such social animals, and if everything has become subjective and personal and you know, like, micro, you know, nothing is of the human experience. It's all like broken down into categories and stuff. And so it's hard to imagine that, you know, it's hard to imagine that everybody else is sharing this too. It's not like you're not sharing it with your fellow whoever you are. You know, it's like me and my fellow gay people, or me and my fellow black people, or me and my fellow Republicans, or me and my fellow generic geriatric people. It's like everybody shares it. Like it's actually like it's the best worst thing in the world because it's something that we all share, you know. And if it had been another time, if it had been Roosevelt instead of fucking Trump, you know, it wouldn't have been perfect, but man, it would have been like, we're going to beat this together. It would have been constantly, we're going to beat this together. We're going to depend on the scientists and doctors to tell us on a daily fucking basis what's going on and what to do. We're going to make mistakes, but we're going to beat it.
I mean, it really seems like if it had come out of the gate differently, we'd be in a different position now.
Somehow it came out as this was about opinion. This was about your stance on individual freedoms and society and stuff. And it's like, no, this has nothing to do with fucking sociology. I feel like the quality of life for all has been retarded by the few. The few, the stupid, and the ignorant. And not even really necessarily like it almost seems to me like the people who are opposed to vaccinations and things, they don't necessarily fall into a given demographic. They seem to arrive to that conclusion for different reasons. Like, some arrive for one thing, and some are Trumpers, but some are not. Some are other kinds of people. You know, it mixes in with this, like, libertarianism and free thinking and being opposed to government and being opposed to, you know, big organizations telling everybody what to do and pharma and, you know, it's like there's all sorts of reasons that people arrive to it, but they arrive to it. It's like, you are being fucking hornswoggled, man. I don't have to make up a better word than that. Hornswoggled.
Unless you are genuinely allergic to the ingredients.
Yeah, there's no other reason. There's no other reason. It's just, it's like, there's just none. There's none. There's no argument to be made. And the arguments made are like these kind of arguments that, like, people would make about, like, they're the equivalent of, like, talking about crop circles or something. It's like, well, you know, it's either a crop circle, it could be a UFO, could be a guy with a scythe. It's like, they're talking about, you're not talking about crop circles, you're talking about fucking COVID. You can't use the same kind of, could be this, could be that kind of reasoning about it. You know, thus you have Aaron Rodgers shooting his fucking ass full of corn cob juice or something. You know, it's like, you know, oh, well, it's, I'm cured.
I'm immunized.
What kind of ignorant motherfuckers that what kind of players union doesn't require all of its fucking members to be fucking vaccinated? Every last one. You don't need to tell us, NFL. We're going to get jabs in every fucking tight black and white ass in the whole fucking league.
NFL did, and all NFL employees are COVID.
And somehow the union argues for, like, our liberties. It's like, you want to be dead? There you are, lying on the ground dead. You're free. It's very, like, it's... And then, like, the idea that it's, like, seeping into, oh, now we have to deal with people in Congress who are anti-vaxxers. Like, how far can stupidity go? How, you know, and it's one of those things where, like, a lot of the people running on that shit, they don't believe it. They've got fucking vaccines up the yin-yang for them and their loved ones. But, you know, it sells on the TV. And I feel spent of something.
This year there will be peace. This year there will be peace. This year there will be peace. There will be peace. There will be peace for my sister and my brother. Peace for my sister and my brother. Peace for my friends and for the others. There will be peace. All of your marriages are healthy. All of your children are strong. This is the year that you'll be wealthy. It won't be too long. Your cat is grateful for your friendship. He is effusive with his praise. He runs to you when you call him. These are the good days. My mom will know how much I love her. My mom will know how much I care. I always do forget to write her, but she is always there. When my father's day is over, when my father's work is done, tell him I am proud to know him. And to be called his son. This year you won't get any older. This year you won't turn gray. All of the songs we sing are bolder. All these words will pass away. There is no need to worry. There is no worry here. There is no need to worry. There